This episode of For the Love with Jen Hatmaker is brought to you by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. They can be big, difficult, even scary life things, and also small inconveniences that add up day after day. The thing is, when we keep them all bottled up on the inside and just try to grin and bear it, it can start to affect us and the people around us negatively. We may even isolate ourselves, which makes it even worse. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. This was the case for me when I was at the highest stress level in my life, where the stress was even having physical consequences for me. Therapy was a huge part of my healing journey to learn how to manage the stress. So if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and it's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapist anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/fortheLove today and get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/fortheLove.
You guys, how important is sleep temperature? It's everything to me. And this is where Chili Pad by Sleep Me comes in. Its mission is to elevate the quality of human life through cool sleep. The Chili Pad bed cooling system is your new bedtime solution. It lets you customize your sleeping environment to your optimal temperature, ensuring you fall asleep, stay asleep, and wake up refreshed. Chili Pad works with your existing mattress. It's a water-based mattress topper that continuously controls your bed temperature from 55 to 115 degrees. It's designed for one or two sleepers. So if your partner likes to sleep at a different temperature or you only need it for one side of the bed, it still works. I just put this on top of my existing mattress and voila. So whether you're dealing with night sweats or simply seeking a better night's rest, Chili Pad is here to transform your existing mattress into a sanctuary of cool, relief, and comfort. Visit www.sleep.me/FTL to get your Chili Pad and save up to $315 with code FTL. This offer is exclusively available for the Love listeners. Only for a limited time. So order it today with free shipping and try it out for 30 days. You can return it for free if you don't like it with your sleep trial. So visit www.sleep.me/FTL because every woman deserves to wake up feeling refreshed and ready to conquer the day ahead.
This like kid who just like loved Jesus and I like realized I was gay and I was just scared and alone and I wanted to have it all. Like I wanted to have my family and God like and my future and I didn't think I'd be able to have it all.
Welcome to the For the Love podcast with me, Jen Hatmaker. It's time to spring back with my incredible daughter, Sydney Hatmaker, this week as we celebrate Pride Month and I catch you up on where Sydney is in her life since she recorded our top most listened to podcast of 2020 about being gay and beloved. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the last episode of our Spring Back series. It has been really fun to revisit these episodes and share some of the key pieces of favorite interviews from so many great guests, not just to reminisce, but to look at where we were when we talked with these guests first and where we are now, and maybe see how we've grown and changed over the last couple of years, and also how their original messages are just as salient today, if not more so. I am amazed, actually, at how each episode has been so evergreen and how these women, by the way, we do have a handful of men that have been on this show, but by and large, this is a girls' club, y'all. But they're just still a force in the world, and I just am so proud to give them a place to share their voices and their messages and their experiences. So, best for last. Our featured guest this week is pretty near and dear to me. So excuse me if I'm a little biased about which of these episodes was my favorite, but having her be the wrap-up to this series just is how I wanted it to be. Yes, of course, it is my daughter, Sydney Hatmaker, the one and only, the joy of my heart. And I still get absolutely overwhelmed thinking about the bravery it took for Sydney to come on this show and share her truth with this big world. Oh, man. This kid kills me. It was really important to her to tell her own story
in her own time and how she wanted to do it. And I was really honored to give her a place to do it. I always told her, you know, I want, you are beloved and you are not a secret. And I want you out and proud and beloved in my community when you're ready. When you're ready, the mic is yours. And she said it was time. And then it was. So apparently you loved it too, because, I mean, thousands of you listened and then went to social media to comment and give your support. You guys, I'll just never get over it. Neither will Sydney. Both of us are still freaking out. A ton of you moms who had daughters or sons that came out to you shared your hearts about how healing and powerful it was to hear Sydney talk about what she went through as the daughter of like Christian leaders, to reckon with who she was, right? And what it meant to be real in her life and safe and true. So if you didn't catch it the first go around, and I'm being weird and vague, so Sydney's gay, although she talked about it for the first time in this public way in MySpace in 2020, it obviously wasn't new for us. You know, we've known, of course, who she is and her story, you know, for years. So Sydney and I really, I just want you to know, we really consider this carefully. I am super careful and reluctant to ever put any one of my kids in a situation where a million eyeballs are staring them down, right? And they have a right to privacy. Privacy is not secrecy, right? You can have privacy. You're not a secret. But this was time for her. And I'm so proud of her. This is such a powerful conversation. I cannot even begin to tell you how many people still reach out to both of us about this episode. Still. I mean, I'll just never get over it. Like, both of us had grandmas reach out to us and say, I am telling my family I am gay for the first time in my life and I'm 70 because I've listened to this podcast. I mean, it's just, it's bananas. Like, families reconciled, families who had been disconnected out of fear or shame or confusion or even just regular old run-of-the-mill homophobia reached out and reconciled. They apologized. They asked forgiveness. They made amends. It was just so unbelievable what happened on the other side of this conversation. And so we knew for sure if we're going to recenter a conversation for a second time, this is one. This is one to do. It's so, so powerful. And Sydney is powerful in her own life. She just continues to grow and to flourish. She is so deeply in possession of this knowledge of who she is. It is extraordinary to watch. She turns 21 next month. And she is more powerful in her own life. She has more agency over her identity and her direction and her potential and than I ever had. Like, I just cannot believe. I cannot believe how strong and smart and wise and courageous she is at this young age. Her star is just going to rise all the way. So again, before we get back into it, thank you to the dearest people that you are, the absolute dearest, who listened to this podcast faithfully and let us know when it originally aired that you had our backs. And to some of you who maybe tuned in because you hadn't really seen a story like this from a podcast in the religion and spirituality category on iTunes, right? We're glad you're here too. We asked you, share this with the people in your life asking questions. Share this with your pastors. Like, share this with, this is for people who want to hear more. They want to hear a real story from a real mom and daughter about what this looked like in a real life. And by the way, she and I just both boo-hoo through this thing. I'm humbled that you're here and I'm thankful that you're listening. Thank you. Thank you for listening. Thank you for being here. I would just love to ask you to just kind of open your hands to it and don't clench around this conversation and just let it be. Listen to my daughter. Listen to her heart. Listen to what she has to say. And imagine what's possible, right? So don't mind the tears. Like I said, this conversation had plenty because on one way it brought up some wounds, which were just so hard. You know, it's hard to see. It's hard. That was hard. for her to say, to hear, to remember. But there were tears of pride and joy too. I'm just couldn't be more pleased that we're back here during Pride Month, 1 year later, talking about and sharing this really special moment with my amazing daughter, Sydney. All right, on to our conversation and stick around after, and I'll talk a little bit more after about what was going on behind the scenes. So here's my conversation with Sydney.
Yeah, that was like a really intense like time in my life. I mean, I started being like consciously aware of my sexuality. And at some point around sixth or seventh grade, I remember I was nervous to like write it down in case like somebody would see it. So I don't have any like evidence for when exactly I started knowing that it was sometime around there. But I usually tell people that I really kind of always knew. And, you know, I think a lot of like gay and trans people have that story where it's like, it's your own like body and it's natural.
Right.
And
right.
I think a lot of kids are just like kind of cut off from their own knowing by just being raised in complete like heteronormativity and
right.
just not even having the option. And their families assuming they're straight and their kids' movies assuming they're straight. I remember yeah. not even like I remember having these like really intense friendships that were definitely crushes, but before I even really knew that that was an option on the table,
right.
you know, yeah. I always knew. And that's why I feel like the whole like coming out thing is kind of antiquated and will hopefully be over eventually, just as kids are raised and able to just like have as much freedom to kind of like, I don't know, like grow up and develop their sexuality as every other kid. I've even got to see this a little bit with Remy, you know, like I've been out since she was like, I don't know, like 9 or 10.
Yeah.
And even though she's really goofy about it, like she's always been able to be like, I don't know if I'm gay or bi yet. Like I don't have crushes yet. I don't know.
Right.
Like we'll see. And like, it's just so cool to see that and be like, God, like the amount of like, heartache that would have been able to be prevented if I could have just done that, you know?
Sure.
Like I remember trying to make myself have crushes on boys and like talking about it with my friends when I was like 12.
But so your crushes were always really fake. They were like, I have a crush on Ed Sheeran. I'm like, do you? Like
I remember the one
the
one like fabricated crush I had in sixth grade was this kid named Dawson. And he like asked me out and then like, lied and said that I wasn't allowed to have a boyfriend. And then I used that for like drama and attention for a little bit. But we both ended up gay. So.
Oh, weird. You found each other and then in the wild.
I guess it was a little bit pretend for him, you know.
Yeah.
I guess that was dodged for both of us.
Well, one thing that I like about what you're saying, which when we can switch it over to a hetero space, makes it so easy to understand, is like, I never had to be told that I liked boys. That wasn't some big moment where it was like some sort of reckoning and, I like boys. And that has, now this has to be a deal. And it did start early. Of course it did. I mean, I had a crush on a boy in third grade and we were in the nurse's office at the same time. And I tried to stay sit so I could stay
Are
in there.
Are you serious? That's like, so cute.
So staying back there real quickly before we move forward, sixth, seventh grade, eighth even, there's probably a laundry list of stuff, but did anything feel particularly scary to you back then? What were you worried about? What was keeping you up at night?
Well, I mean, like, first it was like the really painful and confusing, like cognitive dissonance of even realizing that you might be gay, you know, and like that knowing was like always inside, but like it finally coming out and like not being able to deny it anymore. And for some people that happens when they're 40 years old. But for me, I was 12 because that was when I started, I think, seeing like representation of gay people just in like movies and stuff. And I just became even more aware of what it was. So first of all, like that was really confusing. And then like, you know, I was such a Jesus freak. Like my whole, my
you were a good little Christian soldier.
Yeah. Well, and I was always very spiritual also. Like I remember doing my little devotionals when I was as young as like 7. And I grew up like youth group every week, even like me and my best girlfriends in like, I think 8th grade literally made like a Bible study, just us.
Sure.
And so that was like my whole world. You know, I was the kid at like youth camp who took that crap way too seriously. Like I would have gone up to the pulpit with the kids getting saved if I could have. If I wasn't baptized in 2nd grade,
out of- You know I did too. I got resaved every summer.
Yeah, yeah. No, I loved all of the Jesus emotions when I was little. So,
yeah.
You know, my first thought was like, oh shoot, like, am I going to go to hell?
Mm.
I was like 12, you know? And then my second thought was, what's going to happen with my family? And like, I remember, like, when I look back at the journals for that time, seeing that I was writing like, well, I'm going to have to think one day, like, am I going to come out? Like, am I ever going to tell my family? Like, I might still want to be married one day. Like, if I get married, like, I'm going to have to tell my family, but like, what's going to happen if I tell my family? And that was really scary. But the biggest thing was like, it's hard to think back on this time and to look back on those journals, because I was like 12 and 13, like fighting really hard for my own faith.
Yeah.
Because I was really scared. And at that time, I didn't have a single voice in my life telling me that it was okay. I didn't even know that there were people who were like affirming of gay people in the church and of same-sex marriage. And I obviously didn't have the tools to figure that out for myself, but I tried. I remember trying to do like a comprehensive Bible study on my own, trying to figure out like if this was okay or not, you know? This was kind of hard. So, but I just remember trying to Google it. And one of the first resources that I found was just this person talking about like various Christian perspectives on same-sex marriage. And they were kind of providing some different leaders who had said different things on it. And, you know, they provided the like non-affirming perspective. And then they got to the like loving but unaffirming kind of theology. And the leader that they linked was you.
Right.
It took me something that you wrote. And that was like nail in the coffin. That's when I was like, oof. And then I didn't touch Bible for years at that point. So that was through like 7th, 8th, and 9th grade. Yeah. Just trying to process all that on my own and having no idea how. They're like full grown like Christian ministers who have no idea how to answer that question or even begin the research process, you know? So
right. Oh, it's so heavy, honey.
Yeah.
So, so, so heavy. That'll always be for the rest of my life one of my greatest sadnesses, my greatest regrets and sorrows. And when I think about you struggling through that by yourself, I could just sob.
Yeah, me too. And I think I get really like emotional talking about it. I just have so much compassion for myself. I just feel like I'm like 13 again. You know what I mean?
Mm, yeah.
This like kid who just like loved Jesus, and I like realized I was gay, and I was just scared and alone. And I wanted to have it all. Like, I wanted to have my family and God, like, and my future. And I didn't think I'd be able to have it all.
Yes.
And even though that I know that I can.
Yeah.
Now, like, you know, I still definitely have like a lot of work ahead of me. If I still want to restore and kind of repair like my own faith that I had as a child, you know?
Yeah.
And that's like really hard, because as soon as I try to kind of get into that stuff, I'm just like, takes me back to that like Tinder like space, you know?
Totally. You know, you and I, of course, you know this at this point, but our church at the time was deep in the process of evaluation on that. And so much regret that I had not just grabbed all of you and pulled you so deeply into those conversations. I'm so sad about that. I wonder, what do you wish? And I'm thinking back to that Sydney who was still scared. And what do you wish that pastors and churches knew?
I mean, they need to know that like the faith of gay kids in their families and in their churches is in their hands, you know, like it's up to them and what they say matters.
Yeah.
And we were even talking about this the other day. I was like, everybody wants to take their time and make sure that they have it right, but you can't wait. We can't wait. You know, I couldn't wait.
Yeah.
I needed that. And like, and I looked for those answers on my own. That's the thing. Like, these kids are going to look for those answers on their own if you don't decide what answer you want to give them. Like,
yeah.
So what a sweet, special moment. Thanks for letting me share that with you again. So many good things in there. So many things I learned from her and her journey. One particular thing Sydney said, and I feel like I've seen some evolution in this area. She said, I feel like the whole coming out thing is kind of antiquated and will hopefully be over eventually. Just as kids are raised and able to have just as much freedom to kind of like, I don't know, grow up and develop their sexuality as every other kid. I really thought about that a lot after she said it the first time, that it's still kind of such a deal. You know, it has to be such a deal where straight kids just get to, they just get to grow up in it without having to answer a lot of questions or make some big statement or have some huge conversation. And you know what? Something that Sydney has pointed out to me since that you'll notice, like, she is not a fan of these shows and movies or whatever, where, you know, if the lead character is gay, that it's still centered around their coming out story. It's still centered around the homophobia they face, the trauma they face, this sort of sense of being unliked and unwelcomed in the community. So I listened to her say that and ask for more clarity. And she's just like, why can't we just have a gay lead character who's normal, who isn't hated and isn't ostracized and doesn't have to go through trauma? She's like, Mom, when I watch those movies, it's traumatizing again. And it's this, it undergirds this idea like, see, the world still thinks we're something to be ashamed of. The world still thinks we owe everybody an explanation or that we should be kicked out of our prom, you know, or whatever the thing is. And so I'm paying attention to that now. Like, when can it stop being such a thing? And when can the LGBT community just be who they are in a normal way, like everybody else gets to be? Anyway, she is always challenging me on what's out there and what the perception is and what representation looks like and which representation maybe gets celebrated by the straight community, but maybe feels a little bit different to the gay community, right? And as she looked for her answers, a call, by the way, for parents to pay attention, because as she said, kids are going to look for those answers on their own if you don't decide what answer you want to give them. It's not going to help at all to avoid or deny or hope something's just going to go away. In fact, that causes so much trauma and so much loneliness and so much anxiety and fear. So you got to decide where you stand. And I pray that you stand in the place of love, full acceptance, for your child to be exactly who they are and who they're meant to be. All right, you guys, thank you for being a part of the Spring Back series as we revisited some of the best, right? Highlight films, and on to a brand new series next week. You are not going to want to miss it. See you then.